This is the October 22nd meeting of the National Finance Committee, Pacifica. It looks like we are ready to get underway. We have quorum. R. Paul, will you call the roll?
Okay, please answer up when you hear your name. Paul DiRienzo, Lyndon Foley.
Here.
Kamau Harris.
I'm here.
Christina Huggins. R. Paul Martin here. Stephen Meeks.
Here.
Darlene Pagano.
Here.
Myla Reason.
I'm here.
Minerva Sanders.
Present.
Susan Young.
Present.
Okay, that's eight. You have a quorum.
All right. I am doing three things at once, so suddenly the agenda has fallen off my screen. Who will call the next item on the agenda?
What? Question, was an agenda sent out? I don't see one.
Yes, it was sent out. It was only sent out about 35 minutes ago, 40 maybe. And it is attached to a blank email on the NFC list.
A blank? All right,
yeah,
I see something that says draft agenda.
Yes.
There's no agenda on it. There's no file attachment. There's no text.
All right. I'll do folks, you're just going to have to wait a second if nobody has it.
Yeah, Darlene, it says attached, but there's no agenda attached.
Okay. I saw the words attached to the bottom. Let me try it one more time. R. Paul, are there any minutes for this meeting?
Oh, yeah, we have two sets.
And what are those dates? Because I didn't have them.
September 17th and September 24th.
Did we not approve those meetings, those minutes at the last meeting?
No. Not those two. Not those two. Remember, we skipped a meeting, and those were set for that meeting.
Okay. Well, I didn't put them down under minutes approval, but we have to back for a moment and do the agenda approval, and I will read it out for those who are listening. We've done our call to order and roll call. Approve the draft agenda. Approve the open minutes. 5, presentation and review of the affiliates 2025 budget. Stephanie Wells will be presenting with the business manager and the bookkeeper of the Pacifica Affiliates Network. 6, a vote to approve or decline to approve the affiliates budget. That both of those together is 50 minutes. 7, Christina Huggins' question to the ED on details of the national office payroll funding. 8, NFC communications with PNB and LSB. We need to stipulate how information is going to be uniformly shared. That's for 10 minutes. 9, a discussion of the usefulness of Maestro versus Zoom for 10 minutes. And then we have carryovers, items to schedule for upcoming NFC, agendas as needed. In that list, A is update on the status of other budgets still open. And B, return to the topic of central services. And we plan... we have an estimated time of adjournment of 10:30 p.m. Eastern. Now, I am going to take probably a minute. R. Paul, could No, no. I'm not going to take a minute yet. I'm going to ask, as I try to get this written copy to everybody, I am going to ask if we can proceed with this draft agenda.
I would really feel better if we got it. If you just send it, then we can see it.
Okay, I'm trying to send it and share. So I have copied it just as data, and let me get to the, oh, please, dear God in heaven. I am trying to get to the NFC list, which I have not done. I am doing groups, is there a reason my computer isn't moving? Yes, it is, because I'm trying so hard to be fast that I am misspelling a simple word like group.
I know that our Paul, this is Myla. I know that our Paul would prefer to see the agenda, but I think that for the purpose of, I think we should expedite this process and just keep going.
Well, going is that I am pasting it into a message.
What I'm saying, Darlene, is what's next on the agenda?
The next thing on the agenda is to approve the agenda.
And after that, we can always change later.
Myla?
What's next? What's after approval of the agenda?
Let's just let her do it.
Did everybody just get it? I just sent a message. The only title is agenda. Did people receive it?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Anyway. I am so sorry. I cannot explain.
That was one.
Let's not get hung up on this procedural stuff and just move the agenda.
I have three times. I have. How about an open a message now that has no subject line, just blank subject line?
Oh, that's a bad idea.
I just got something from the executive director. Okay, and she wants me to forward this. Okay. But I haven't gotten...
Third time it is saying your message has been sent.
Okay, darling, this is Minerva. I just got it.
Thank you, dear. Good to know.
Yeah.
So did I.
All right, I'll go back to the agenda. Let everybody just give it a quick look.
Madam Chair, I move approval of the agenda.
I second. This is Myla. I know no second is needed. But
all right. Are there objections to accepting this draft agenda as this evening's agenda? Hearing no. Hearing no objections, we're moving on. Okay, R. Paul, where back in our records are the minutes for tonight's approval?
It was sent 2 weeks ago. So, okay, let me look on the NFC here.
Thank you.
Madam
Chair. Sent out October 8th.
October 8th?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was sent out at 4:31 Eastern Time.
Madam Chair, may I be recognized, please?
Myla, let's be recognized.
I'd like to be recognized, please.
Can I give everybody the subject so you can find it?
I would like to approve the minutes, and we can always correct them later if they need to be corrected.
Let people just open it up.
Let's just take all the time in the world. Okay.
And the subject is, here are the draft minutes of the September 17th to September 24th, 2024 NFC meetings. Again, on October 8th, it was all sent out.
Motion to approve the September 17th NFC meetings by Susan.
Thank you, Susan.
September 17th? You want to go?
I'm going to get back to that, Arpo. I'm doing them one at
okay.
a time.
Okay, fine.
I need to let you know that I'm actually on a screen in which I can mute people at will. So I know it's nerve-wracking. So just letting you know, Susan has made a motion to accept the minutes of the 17th. Am I correct, Susan?
Correct. Yes.
Are there any objections to accepting those minutes? Hearing none, give me the date of the other meeting after the 17th.
Motion to accept the minutes of September 24th. Motion by Susan.
Thank you, Susan. Susan has moved that we accept the minutes of the 24th of September. Are there any objections? Hearing none, we are moving on. Thank you. Okay. Ursula and Ruth, it's a little messy at the moment, but I think we have come to solid business, and that is the budget of the Affiliates Network. And you two, Ruth and Ursula, can come in at any time, but my understanding is that the presentation of this budget is going to be done by Stephanie Wells. Are you ready, Stephanie?
Madam Chair?
Yes, Art Paul.
Okay, so the executive director is here. And what are the names of the two people who are here from Affiliates? And also, we should ask if there are any directors on here.
I will let them each introduce themselves, if you would. Ursula?
Okay, I'm Ursula Rudenberg. That's Rudenberg. And I'm the manager of the Affiliate Network Unit.
I'm Ruth Wiedemeyer. I am the business manager for the network.
Thank you. Are there any directors on here who are not members? None. Okay. Thank you.
I've done a count, and we have 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. We have the full complement of 9 and no extras. Thank you. Stephanie, however you'd like to get started.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Everyone should have, received a spreadsheet that has 3 tabs from the Affiliate Network. And the first tab is a budget overview that includes 2 columns with special projects. The second tab is a breakdown of the program income chart. And then tab 3 is a fiscal year 24 profit and loss statement. So just kind of a little background on and notes on the Affiliate Network is that the Affiliate Network Unit ended fiscal year 2024 in the black. In their efforts to rebuild the financial condition of the Affiliate Network, they are now approaching peak revenues. It's been quite remarkable. Based upon the budget.
I'm sorry, Stephanie, you
yes?
cut out for a minute when it sounded like we're giving praise. So to go back to that.
Okay. I think that they are approaching a peak revenue that was achieved back in 2009. And so the affiliate network has been doing.
Excuse me, Stephanie appears to be cutting in and out. Can't hear her now.
Nor can anyone.
No.
Word here. You're cutting out for several seconds at a time. I don't know if there's anything you can do that might improve that connection.
I have two bars on my phone. That's the best I can do. There's not. I'm walking around different areas of my home, but
hey, right where you are.
I have are just two bars.
All right.
So based upon the budget that they have that we'll go through in greater detail, the affiliate network expects surplus funds in fiscal year 2025. And their plan is to use those funds in collaboration with the National Office on various special projects. They are working special projects that they think are of value to the network affiliates, and they want to continue with the development of this. The affiliates, IRFLA, and the affiliates team spearheaded the RNC and DNC convention coverage that we had that was national programming, and they're also spearheading very closely with the program directors at WPFW and WBAI doing election night coverage. And we're also utilizing reporters from our affiliate stations to give us information, news, and updates on the ground. So it's been a great asset to have that organization and that collaboration with our national programming. The network affiliate unit attended the 2024 Grassroots Radio Conference in New Orleans at the start of this current fiscal year. They were sponsors and also presenters. Their vendor table offered the recently updated promotional materials for the network services and spoke and shared the advantages of being part of a Pacifica affiliation. Improvements in the overall contract process with our affiliates have led to a 75% return rate of contracts within the first month of the current fiscal year and increases in IT services subscriptions. A presentation at the Grassroots Radio Convention on the IT services program was well attended, and these efforts have powered a 40% increase in IT services subscription revenue that is expected in fiscal year 25. So I'm going to go over the first tab of the spreadsheet, which is a basic budget overview, and then Ursula, who is the Pacifica Affiliate Network Manager, and Ruth, who is the Business Manager of the Affiliate Network, will be here to answer any questions that I am unable to answer. So as we look at the budget overview, we have to pay particular attention to column B, which is the proposed budget for fiscal year 25. And then we have column G, which is basically the end of year P&L for the fiscal year 24, the actuals, and then the what was budgeted for fiscal year 24. That's in column I. So the revenue is remaining fairly the same from across the board of revenue that is the affiliate income revenue that is budgeted for fiscal year 25 is $230,000. The internet technology subscription services is budgeted at $22,000, a slight increase from what was budgeted in fiscal year 24. The business donations are $6,000 and grants are budgeted at $8,000. If you look at column G, you will see that there is a substantial difference between what is budgeted for fiscal year 25 and what was the actuals for fiscal year 24. And that is only because the difference there is that Ursula wrote and received a grant of, I believe it was $15,000 to help support the convention coverage on a national level. direct support is budgeted, so therefore the total of that, so direct support, which is the business donation and the grants, is a total of $14,000, which is line 9. So the total revenue that is budgeted for fiscal year 25 is $266,000, just up, you know, up quite a bit, but, you know, up just conservatively an increase from what was budgeted for fiscal year 24. And then it's a slight decrease from what the end of year fiscal year 24 P&L is, just because, again, we're accommodating for that $15,000 grant that was received, and hope and anticipation that we'll be able to get grants for other special projects as we move down the road. But we just want to be conservative as we're doing that. So the gross profit line 15, if you look, of course, is just a pull down of what the total revenue is. So again, the total revenue proposed for fiscal year 25 is $266,000. The expenditures, basically pretty much staying the same, slight increase with salary and wages at $130,000, payroll taxes at $10,500, basic employee benefits, other 403B expenses at $2,400, and then employee benefits at $37,000 for a total payroll expenses of $173,600. Legal fees, $9,000. Pretty basic across the board. Consultant services, $2,000. So that means the total of contracted services and expenses to $11,000. As we move into operations, we have a software expense, again, remaining fairly the same, $3,000. Server expenses for the website, $20,000. Promotion and marketing at $2,000. Postage mailing at $250. And basic office supplies at $1,400. So we have an operations total expense of $26,650. As we move to travel and meetings, there is a conference expenses for $2,500. That was for the grassroots convention that we talked about as being a sponsor. And then any sort of any additional ticket that they may have. But they have budgeted successfully to attend this conference for the last 2 years, and it's been quite beneficial for us in general for the affiliates and in gaining new affiliates in our network. So the conference is $2,500, travel $2,500 for a total of travel and meetings at $5,000. As we go through to the next line, 39, which is facilities and equipment, we have central service fees budgeted at $35,000, equipment at $1,000, rent, office space $3,900, and utilities at $1,200. If you look at the actuals in column G for line 41 with equipment, they did move the computers over to fixed assets. And if you look up also on the central service line in column A, that $22,300, if you just click on the little red, that when the red triangle is there, for those that may not be familiar with Excel, that means there's little notes that you can click on it. So that includes their payment of the P&O server share of $11,300. And we have discussed that since they're covering some of that cost for the national office server, that we're taking that as central service payments. So their total in line 44 for facilities and equipment, their total expenses are $41,100. The special projects, that's that little box in the center with column B and column E. It kind of goes through what some of those expenses are that we had for this past fiscal year, and that we're collaborating. They were going to be collaborating together with the national office to help offset and cover the cost of some of those, because they are a benefit to all of the network. So there isn't, you know, we just don't feel that the affiliates should be bearing the burden of those costs. So the 2024 talks are $12,500, and then the Pacific Caster was $30,000 costs. So that brings an extra expense there of $42,500. And as we have in the notes there, is that the affiliates will collaborate with the P&O or the Pacific National Office on meeting those expenses. Sponsorship expenses at $2,000. So we have a total, if we add all of those up, for our total expenditures of budgeted or proposed for fiscal year 25 is $254,850, a little less than what was budgeted for fiscal year 24, which column I, which was $258,350, and it's a little bit more than what some of the actuals were at the end of this fiscal year of $247,542. So with the total budgeted expenditures of $254,850 taken from the proposed revenue, which was up there in line 11 of $266,000, it gives a net revenue for fiscal year 2025 proposed at $11,150. That's it with the budget. If anybody has any questions, if you look at the other tabs, you can get the numbers that are breaking down the P and the tab three are the numbers that are plugged into column G. And the second tab, which is the summary affiliate income, is really quite interesting to sort of see how the affiliate program has grown over the years, with the total revenue and affiliate fees and IT going from 2003 up through 2024. So it's just great to see that growth and that it's peaking yet once again, as we said earlier, and Ursula had reported in her written report that we're up where we were back in 2009.
Myla for the staff.
Okay. No, I was going to say, if anybody has any questions, now's the time.
All right, that starts off with
Martha.
Go ahead.
Okay, well, first of all, I just want to congratulate Ursula and Ruth and Stephanie for operating in the black and being clearly one of our most successful units for year after year after year. Great job. And I do have a couple of questions. I have a question about the central service formula. And I also have a question about the grants and the special projects. So let me start with central services. And I'd like to ask Ursula and is it Ruth?
Yes,
Ruth.
Okay, so I am wondering whether you have an opinion about the fairness of the formula that's being used and whether you feel that you are being that you're receiving services in equal to the amount of money that you've been putting into the Pacifica network. And then I have another question, but I'd like to start with that.
The answer is yes. There is a caveat, but basically, yes, I feel that the central services amount we figured is a fair amount. And, you know, we would do more if we could. I mean, it's we've always seen our unit as wanting to contribute as much as we can. And so I think that's fine. The only caveat is that it would, you know, that, and I spoke with Stephanie. Stephanie and I spoke about this. It would be nice if some of the special projects that we've been shouldering the cost, it would be nice, because they're really services for the whole organization, it would be nice if there could begin to be, you know, a situation where we weren't shouldering the whole cost, because it is a lot for us. And so that's a shift that I think Stephanie has expressed willingness to make and is a long time coming. There were times when I feel that we weren't, we didn't have a fair situation, but I feel right now we do.
Great. So I have another question, and that has to do with the grant you got, Ursula, for the coverage of the conventions. And I imagine there'll be other grants that you'll be seeking in the future. And it has to do with, you know, I co-host California Solartopia with Harvey Wasserman, and our show was preempted for that coverage, and Harvey would have loved to have been invited to participate in some way, and I'm just hoping that maybe you might keep him in mind, and it might be, if it were at all possible for people who might have their shows preempted from having an opportunity perhaps to participate in special programming. And of course, that's I'd like you to keep that in mind because.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. Harvey would be great for that.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Just to clarify, I did not executive produce those.
Uh-huh.
So I really wasn't in a position to make decisions, but I certainly could have been in a position to recommend Harvey, and next time I will, definitely.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you.
Okay, that's Myla. Are there any other questions for
Arpal?
Let me hold on one moment, Arpal. Is there another person to go on stack? Okay, Arpal.
Okay. Kind of fast. Let me get into this. By the way, I got this as the a 1 and a 2, but they look like they're the same thing. So I don't know. Maybe somebody just sent it out accidentally. Anyway, under line 23, contract services, we have legal fees and consultant services. And I'd like to hear more about both of those, especially the legal fees. What was going on there?
We don't have radio licenses in our unit. We have contracts. basically our lifeblood is contracts that we make with our clients. And we needed to update a lot of our contracts. And so the legal fields are all hiring lawyers to write contracts for us. That's what it is. And that's pretty much what it will continue to be.
And what are the consultants?
We have somebody who works as kind of our, as Stephanie mentioned, a newer source of revenue for us is the internet technology services that Otis developed, the software. And in order to really be able to sell that, we need some form of customer outreach and to sell it, and also to provide technical support. And we use somebody who does that, who's really excellent and very cheap, and he works very closely with Otis. And he's in Madison, Wisconsin. His name is David Klan. And basically that's his work with us, is that he provides that technical support.
All right, thank you.
This is Darlene. I just want to make sure as I look across at this, and you mentioned how inexpensively this fellow bills, that line has gone down 90% last year to this? Okay.
Yeah, I can explain that. I can explain that. That must look a little bit odd. The thing is, we used to, David actually provides, he really grew in, I mean, David is very, very good at what he does, and Otis can speak to that. And so as time went on, it became clear that he could provide other services besides customer support, and he kind of grew into other jobs that he does for Pacifica. He works closely with Otis and John L. Mella, and we were paying for all of that. So a little while back, Stephanie and I had a talk about that, and I asked that we split the cost for that, because by now at least half of the services he does are not really for our unit. They're for other things. So that's
all right.
Why the amount lowered, because Stephanie agreed that she would, that Pacifica National would cover some of the costs that really are not our costs.
All right. Anyone else for the stack before I ask my next question? Anyone else? Okay. So I have noticed in both the PNB and here at the NFC that there's not a lot of knowledge about what the affiliates actually do with Pacifica and what is the benefit of to the affiliates of being a network affiliated with Pacifica. So what I would ask just in the area of this very last question about IT and talking about how it was a rather good draw at the New Orleans conference, can you describe to us, help us out understanding what IT services are the affiliates getting from Pacifica? And I hope I'm phrasing that correctly.
Okay, this is I'm trying to think of what to say. This is a big topic. So we have a network of about a little more than 200 affiliates. Most of them are in the U.S., Canada, and in Europe, and on and off in Africa, depending on political situation there. And what the affiliates get out of being with us is, first of all, many of them just believe in the Pacifica mission, and they want to be, they understand that we are kind of the springboard for community radio, and they want to be part of that. And they also get, so they get programming from us. We have a program distribution system, AudioPort, which we built back in 2003. And this is it's basically crowdsourcing radio content. And by now, we've been able to leverage thousands of production groups all over the network and independent producers. And so AudioPort offers an enormous menu of radio programming. I mean, just absolutely ginormous by now. And Otis manages that. He doesn't manage the website, but he manages the software for it. And we manage the website itself and the use of the website. And that's an enormous amount of work. At currently, we get an average of 3 new programs a week of independent producers who want to distribute their work through Pacifica. So it's a very, very large menu of content. So stations want that. They want our national coverage of events like election night, the conventions. They get Democracy Now! Through us still. They get some news, not as much as we'd like, but they do get some news from us. And a large menu of other programs that come either from Pacifica stations, affiliate stations, or independent groups. They have access to the Pacifica Radio Archives. A lot of them use the internet technology services that we offer for an extra cost. And then the last thing, which is a little bit of an intangible, but I think most of us understand the concept of a network. If you're part of a network, you're connected to a lot of people and resources and support, which they actively use. We are very responsive. If you call us, we answer the phone right away. And we are constantly, acting as a liaison service between people who are trying to find other people in the network for whatever reason. We provide support services to people who want to distribute their work through Pacifica. We help them through that process. And we provide a family. And I don't think I have to tell anybody on this call that right now that means a lot, right, to be part of a family that feels like, a lot of our affiliates are in very conservative parts of the country and, not in communities where they necessarily have a lot of, people understanding who they are. And so it's very meaningful to them to be part of a family, to have personal relations with us, with each other, And just, we also provide monthly roundtable meetings, Zoom meetings, where people, discuss their issues or also have educational. We have educational presentations for all sorts of things that facilitate, you know, managing community radio stations. These roundtables were particularly important during, you know, when COVID came on, because everybody had to figure out how to handle COVID, and it was an incredible support group at the time to help figure that out. So, you know, a lot of it is just being part of the network. And so it's a labor, we're a labor intensive office. I mean, because this is all based on, you know, personal relations and, you know, very, very fast and immediate support. And Otis is part of that. He helps with that kind of help, because people often need technical support for one reason or another in using AudioPort, which is our distribution website. And now we're in the middle of building a podcast website, because a lot of our affiliates want to have podcasts. And we want to do it in a way that supports community radio instead of competes with it. So it's, you know, we do radio with them.
Exactly. Thank you. That's even broader than the question I asked. And I think that's very
Sorry.
Valuable. Oh, no.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you asked about the grassroots radio conference. It's really meaningful, you know, at a conference like that, which is really all grassroots radio stations. It's very meaningful for them to see that Pacifica is there and is kind of like holding down the floor. You know, it serves that purpose, because people still understand what Pacifica is.
Yes. And I would suggest, I'm going to make a little suggestion to Stephanie, that at some point when the PMB turns over, probably early in that process, that you invite Ursula and company, or if Ursula is still the director, to explain what it is that the affiliates are and do, so that the folks at Pacifica have an appreciation for how they are expanding our mission on a budget of what do we have here, less than $255,000 a year. I think that might be a real reality check for the next PMB as it comes in.
Yeah, okay, Darlene, can I make one more comment?
Of course.
I want to clarify something, because this seems to kind of perpetually be a source of confusion. We are not the affiliates. I mean, the affiliates are fabulous. We absolutely adore affiliates, and we love working with them. But we are not the affiliates. We are Pacifica employees, and we are part of this organization. The affiliates are independent organizations that are clients, and we are not that. We are just plain old Pacific. We are a unit of Pacifica, and our job is to make it happen. We are not one of them.
Understood. You're not actually a radio station, but you are a unit of Pacifica.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that would be really good for the next governance group to understand that, because you're right, it's been just nothing but confusion. I've been around for 6 years in governance, local and then now national. And this has always been vague to me. So the more we know, the better we can appreciate the work you do for us, meaning the rest of Pacifica.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions for our unit, the Pacifica Archives Network. Anything you feel left unsaid, Stephanie, Ruth, Ursula, about your finances?
I don't think so. I mean, I think I want to clarify the increase in salaries, maybe. I would like to make a modest increase to my assistant, or I don't know if you call her assistant, but the third person in our unit who just has knocked herself out for 5 years, and I just think her work should be acknowledged. So that's what that is.
Thank you. It is modest. So,
yeah.
But thank you for pointing that out. All right. That said, we will now go into our own figuring out how we're going to address the PNB with this budget. You're welcome to stay and listen, but you also might want to just be available for a phone call if we really, really need to ask a question. And you can go if you like.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Ursula. Thank you, Ruth. Stephanie, I know you're going to stay because even though we have a budget that we agreed to, I realized that the ED report was not listed on the budget. I don't think it's going to be very long, but it should have been listed. So, Stephanie, you're sticking with us, right?
Correct.
Thanks. All right. So, folks, let's turn our attention to, in my case, admiring the work of our unit, Pacifica Archive Network, and what they can accomplish this spring. So you're hearing my general opinion of things, but what would anyone like to address, bring up, draw our attention to at this point on this budget? I'm counting 5 seconds, 6 seconds. If I don't hear anything, I'm assuming we're in one of those magic moments where no one has a problem with anything. Is that a way to summarize where we are right now?
All right, Madam Chair.
Yes, Susan.
I move approval of this budget to forward to the PNB for its approval.
All right. We are, Susan's making a motion that the NSC give its approval to this budget from the affiliates of the affiliates network, and that we move this on up with our recommendation to the PNB. Is there anyone who wants to repeat that statement?
Let me say what I got. To approve the draft FY25 Pacifica Affiliates Network budget and send it to the PNB and recommend it to the PNB. How about that?
Yeah, recommend it to the PNB.
Okay, so to approve the draft FY25.
Go ahead, Art Paul.
To approve the draft FY25 Pacifica Ill Affiliates Network budget and recommend it to the PNB.
For their approval. Oh, for their acceptance, excuse me. For their
just
acceptance.
Just recommend it. They do what they please.
Understood. I heard someone else's voice in coming in. Is there anyone who needed to speak?
The voice was mine saying, the voice was mine, Susan. I was the maker of the motion. I'm fine with the way that R. Paul crafted it.
Thank you. All right. So the motion is on the floor, and I am not hearing any objection. I will wait another couple of seconds to see if there is an objection. Otherwise, this will be passed unanimously. All right. R. Paul, for the minute, this budget has been approved and accepted by the NFC, and we are taking the next step, as the minutes say, of passing it up. Thank you all. That went well. I'm very glad. And it's amazing what they are doing on a shoestring. I say that again. Okay. Since Stephanie is still here, I make a motion to amend the agenda to include the executive director's financial report. Is there any objection to amending the agenda in that for that purpose? Hearing no objection, R. Paul, I ask you to add to the minute the addition of that motion of the agenda. And Stephanie, go ahead.
Myla, with a point of information.
Go ahead, Myla.
I'm just wondering, the last thing I got from Stephanie, from you, Stephanie, was on October 17th. Is there some additional report in writing that you sent out since the 17th?
No, the ED report for this evening is from the PNB meeting on October 17th, the one that can be shared with LSDs and committees.
Great, thank you.
The attachment should be titled ED Report for 12/22/24 NFC Meeting from the 10/17/24 PNB Meeting can be shared with LSDs and committees, PDF.
Great, I've got that open, thank you.
Okay, go ahead, Stephanie.
For the Los Angeles building, escrow officially closed on the Los Angeles building on Friday, October 11th. Attached to the ED report are details of the payout. The building was sold for $0.5 million. The payout attachment lists the sale price at $4,350,000 because the buyer waived their physical inspection contingency if we provided a $150,000 credit off the purchase price at closing. And this was necessary based upon their multiple inspections and reports and corresponding bids that they had received for any sort of repairs, that the building required repairs at a considerably higher cost, plumbing, roof, HVAC, electrical, structural components, et cetera. From that $4.5 million sale, all of the liens that were on the Los Angeles building have been paid, and the breakdown of those is that for FJC, $1,356,982.27 was wired to FJC on the 14th. Those funds are being used to decrease the principal of the loan. In a phone conversation that I had with them on the 21st, just to confer that they had received the conversation with them on the 14th, just to confirm that they had received the funds. I had asked if they would provide us with a revised total amount due and payment dates. And at the time, they said that they would provide that to me on the week, sometime during the week of the 21st. So today's the 22nd. I haven't received it yet, but it is only Tuesday. So I'm anticipating that we'll receive that. And then we'll be able to get, of course, the update as to how much is due, what our payment dates are, how much that will be, et cetera. The brokers are also sending FJC a recorded copy of the reconveyance. As far as SBA, in order to close escrow, we needed to pay off the SBA loan in its entirety, as we were unable to have the lien removed from that building. So $2,154,802.34 was wired to the SBA on the 14th. $2 million of that was for the principal. $154,802.34 was for interest. In a phone call that I had with the SBA on the 16th, just to confer also that they had received the wire, they're somewhat limited in what they can kind of tell you over the phone, but we did receive that our auto payments for the monthly payments that we were making no longer have to be made because it was paid off, but we will officially receive a payoff letter in 6 to 8 weeks, as per the phone call I've had with them. Also paid off was a lien to Grace Aaron. $35,071.72 was wired to Grace. $30,481 was the principal, and $4,590.72 was for interest. The Pacifica then, out of all of that, received a payout of $531,027.75 on October 15th. From that, we paid some of the needed expenses in order for the national election supervisor and some of the election expenses that needed to be paid out in order for us to get the results of that election put out of this timely, in a timely fashion. And then we also needed to pay the, which was just wired over today, $155,000 to the ACD, which was the phone services that were being used at WBAI, and that was for outstanding payments, and they ended up taking us to court, and so we were court ordered to pay the $155,000 out of the proceeds, and that was just fired over today. As far as moving out, everyone at the Los Angeles building, we need to be out on October 25th. That's when the keys are being handed over, and the company that's moving in, or the people that are moving in, are starting their rebuilding of the building actually the following day on Saturday. KPFK has been asking for volunteers to help with packing, organizing, keep, and trash piles, and the basic final cleanup. As I said, we need to have the building broom cleaned by the 24th. On the 19th, this past Saturday, KPFK hosted a kind of a if you want it, you take it event on Saturday. There wasn't a lot of things that were taken, but there were, it wasn't as successful, I think, as they wanted it to be, but they were able to get rid of quite a few things. The archives department, we had a U-Haul last week there that was moving things out of the building that, you know, manpower that we could just do on our own. And then we also had a junk hauling company come, and then the movers for the bigger items at the archives. They were there today and everything. And then we're getting another small U-Haul just to get kind of those last minute things out. So that area is completely cleared out, and everything is in the storage facility, which is climate controlled, and we rented another space. I think there's kind of pictures of it also on the ED report. We have one of our LSC members for KPFK volunteer some moving company, someone with the truck and contractors, and so they're going to be coming out tomorrow to be moving a lot of the big items, and then we've organized for a junk hauler to come out on Thursday. And they will be getting rid of everything else. They're going to be coming with one truck, lots of people, and just clearing out everything else. So the building will be empty and clean by the 25th. And then late afternoon on the 24th, we'll be there again trying to make the room clean. We also have piano movers that are coming to get the piano that is in the studio. And that will be put in a piano storage facility, and they're giving us a substantial discount of $100 to keep that stored, $100 per month. So we'll be storing that there. It's climate controlled, never gets any warmer than 70 degrees, and it's also humidity controlled and such. So we'll be keeping that there until we determine what we are going to do with the grand piano that is in the studio. So we are on track with everything there. As far as the archives and the Archive Legacy Digitization Project, we are going to be awarded a $30,000 grant from the National Endowment for the Humanities Division of Preservation and Access, which is helping support the expense of storage and storage materials for the collection while we continue to go through the digitization process. And what that means is any purchasing of racks, archival sleeves, dehumidifiers, et cetera. And also just the cost of the storage facility itself. This is, we got an additional storage space. That we have 5 different units. One of the units is fairly large, and we were able to get the same size of a large unit right next door. And we're using that as kind of an office space, triage space, as we prepare things to be sent off for digitization. We also received 2 gifts from separate anonymous donors, one of $12,000 and one of $1,000, to support the digitization process. And we also received a grant of $2,500 from the WTVH Educational Foundation for preserving endangered media. And those funds are being used to offset the cost of interns who are helping create an item-level spreadsheet inventory of all the media that's being approved for digitization. So what's basically happening is that we're getting a unique identifier number for each item, and then any information that is present on the tape or the tape label, such as the title, episode title, date, physical format, duration, that kind of thing, will correspond with that unique identifier number. And then that number is going to be attached to the box, to the item, prior to shipping, and it will match then also the spreadsheet. So then we'll know exactly what's in what as everything gets shipped off to the digitization vendor. One of the highlights of this whole project is that all of the digitized programs are going to be transcribed. We've already done a test of the transcription process through a series that was on KPFK in the early 70s, This Way Out, and also included a live broadcast on WPFW of the first National March on Washington for Lesbian and Gay Rights that happened in 1979. And one of the things that's kind of interesting with the transcription, it's much easier, of course, to identify and locate specific clips and various sections of interviews, which is necessary when people are licensing and as we continue to move forward with licensing, because we are maintaining, you know, the intellect. But one of the things.
Can you back up 30 seconds, Stephanie? We did lose you again.
Okay. So what I was saying is that in addition to the one of the most obvious things that are help thing is transcribed, is that it helps in the process. It speeds up the process of locating any specific clips or interviews. And when people request things for us to either that they want to license, because even though everything is being digitized, all of it is being digitized for free. We are, you know, again, just as a reminder, we are maintaining and owning still all of the licensing agreements and the intellectual property of all of the materials. We are not giving them away. We are not selling them. We were just fortunate enough to be able to have an organization that's willing to digitize everything for free and have us maintain the rights. But when things are transcribed, one of the things that's very exciting for the American Archive of Public Broadcasting and the Library of Congress is that the written transcriptions are making the Pacifica Archive materials available for the first time for the hearing impaired. So we're very excited that we're opening up our audience to a whole, the hearing impaired. It's just a whole new world of people that our materials can reach. One of the things that's in the ED report are just kind of pictures of everything that's been happening with the organization and the cleanup in our storage units. The PNB a while ago asked for multiple pictures of the status of the storage units for the archives. And so there were multiple pictures that were shared back in April. But just to kind of, because the last few months we've been saying, oh, everything's being organized, it's being cataloged, it's being having some pictures involved. So in the ED report, there's the 2 pictures of one of the large storage units that we have that was taken in April of 2024. And it's a little bit chaotic. And then there's pictures that were just taken on the 14th when I was there that just showed the wonderful organization and cleanup that's happening. And then in those pictures, shipment for digitization. So we're making incredible progress on that.
Stephanie, we lost you for some seconds. Can you go back to the wonderful organization and go from there?
Yeah, I mean, if you take a look at the pictures that are in the ED report, you can see the progress that is being made in the cleanup and the organization of the storage facilities. Sometimes when you talk about the cleanup and the cataloging, it's difficult sometimes to picture what that actually involves. It's not like cleaning out your junk drawer in your kitchen. You know, it's quite a bit of materials that each box, each container, each envelope needs to be looked through, because we do not want to get rid of anything that is of any significance, even including boxes that may be filled with crumpled up newspaper. We are making sure to take a look at everything to make sure that, again, we are not getting rid of anything of any significance. So also included in the ED report, and this has been included in other reports before, is a basic statement about the status of the archives, because I get emails, phone calls, texts from general managers, from LSB members, from people that are saying that we're selling the archives, that we're getting rid of everything, that we're throwing away our precious resource. And none of that is true. So we have a basic statement that is, again, has been shared multiple times in the ED report, is that the Pacifica Radio Archives Department is being restructured and is currently being managed by the Pacifica Foundation National Office. This includes licensing and material requests, as well as continuing to oversee the Pacifica Foundation Archive Legacy Project. The Pacifica Foundation Archive Legacy Project, in collaboration with the American Archive of Public Broadcasting, the WGBH Educational Foundation, the Library of Congress, and the Mellon Foundation, is the cataloging, digitization, transcription, curation, and storage of the historic 80,000 plus collection of Pacifica Radio Archives. In addition to saving this priceless collection, the Pacifica Foundation will maintain the intellectual property and licensing rights of the collection and will continue to own the physical materials after digitization. And the reason I have that in there is because people on committees and our wonderful volunteers and our LSB members and our PNB members are often asked questions, or people will make statements to them, and so about the archives or any other item. But when it comes to me and I'm getting, you know, texts or letters saying that we're throwing all this away and that we're getting rid of it and we're not doing anything about it, or I'm selling it off to, you know, a corporation or Disney or something like that, none of that is true. What we're doing is preserving our collection and doing something that we've been wanting to do with the archives for quite some time. So this is going to take probably 2 to 3 years to get everything digitized. This includes recorded materials and also paper products. And we're doing it in groups of 20,000. And again, we will maintain the intellectual property and licensing rights of the entire collection. Also dealing with finances, we are in the process right now of doing the 2022 and 2023 990s, and they will be filed before the end of the 2024 calendar year, and then the 2022-2023 will be filed before the end of the calendar year, and then the 2024 990s will be filed within the first 45 days of 2025. We are awaiting a new engagement letter from our auditors, because we are going to be doing audits for fiscal year 22 and 2023 compiled jointly, which will lessen the overall expense. And since we're doing the paperwork already for 2023, we might also just compile it with 2022. So that's something I'm sure the audit committee will be focusing on in the future. If there are any changes, since we're filing the 990s, if there are any sort of material changes that might warrant us to do an amended return, that's not a problem. We will do one, and it's going to be filed and submitted then to the IRS. The reason that we had postponed doing the audit and the taxes that we didn't have the money for it, but we are going to be using proceeds from the sale of the Los Angeles building in order to pay for our auditors and the filing of taxes. Another thing of interest that Ursula was touching on roughly, and we talked about a little bit, was the national programming. So we had quite a bit of success with the national coverage of the Republican National Convention and the Democratic National Convention, and we were producing national, and right now we're producing national coverage of election night. This entire evening is being produced collaboratively with the program directors and other programmers from, it's being spearheaded by WBAI, WPFW, and the affiliates. KPFT is also, their program director is also working closely with us on it, and also the affiliate station KBOO in Portland, Oregon. KPFK, KPFT, WPFW, and WBAI will be airing the evening's programming. KPFA, we're going to have kind of throwaways to throw, it's not a great word, but television, I'm thinking throwaway. We're going to go live to KPFA during election night for updates, because they had already planned a special event for that evening as a fundraiser where they were going to be, I believe they're renting out a theater and watching the election coverage together as a, for people that had made a donation to the station. So whereas they're not covering and the entire, or they're not using all the programming from that night, we are going to cut live to them just to get updates from the crowd that's there. And then we're also going to get updates from different affiliate stations throughout the country. Another national program that we're promoting amongst our stations is WBAI's weekly program called We Decide, America at the Crossroads 2024. It's hosted by Jenna Flanagan, and it's being produced as national programming with that in mind. So it can be relevant to any station in our network and also any of our 250-plus affiliate stations. Each weekly program includes local campaign reporting that is being generated by Pacifica Affiliates Election Coverage 2024 under the direction of executive producer Lisa Loving, who is from the affiliate station KBOO Community Radio in Portland, Oregon. And she was the one that was working with us very closely with the convention coverage as well. Each program includes in-depth interviews as well as dispatches from our Pacifica affiliates about how Americans are stepping up to the 2024 turnout challenge amid serious voter suppression and efforts in multiple states. So again, we have campaign dispatches, which are being curated by Lisa Loving, the affiliate producer from our affiliate station in Portland. And then they're being produced also by our affiliate stations, WSLR Radio in Sarasota, Florida, WORT in Madison, Wisconsin, KEPWLPFM in Eugene, Oregon, and the Hudson Mohawk Magazine. So it's one of the things that, again, that we're working on with the stations is as we're producing programming to really keep in mind that can you use this as national programming? What do we need to do to produce this so we can offer this to our other sister stations? So we're very excited when we have our general manager meetings that we are able to talk about national programming, how each of the program directors can be a part of helping produce that, and how we can kind of get that Pacifica voice across our network. So that is it for the ED report.
And that is a lot. Anyone have questions for Stephanie?
I do. This is Myla for the stack.
All right, Myla.
Thank you. So, Stephanie, again, something that I mentioned to Ursula, you know, Harvey Wasserman convenes a weekly meeting on election integrity and is one of the most knowledgeable people I know about voter suppression and access to the polls and all of those things. He's really got his finger on the pulse there. And I know he would very much like to be a part of that special programming. How would he go about it? Would he have to be in touch with Lisa Loving? And could you possibly facilitate him at least having an opportunity to make a pitch to be involved in the special programming?
Well,
100%. Yes, I will reach out to the program directors from KPFT, WPFW, and WBAI. Katia Stitt and Keziah Glow are the program directors from Washington and New York that are spearheading it.
So how do, can you facilitate?
Tell them and have them reach out to Harvey. Yeah, I'll have I'll introduce them so he can get involved.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you, Stephanie.
But I believe our very own R. Paul is also reporting, if I'm not mistaken, if I heard that correctly today.
I don't think I am.
Oh, well, maybe I heard it before you did.
Uh-oh.
I think you're being pulled in to do a report, yeah. But, yeah, sorry about that. I will, yeah.
Okay.
You know what, Stephanie, if you wouldn't mind, if you send anything to Harvey's email, if you would copy me, I'll make sure that he sees it, because he often gets overwhelmed with email and doesn't see everything.
100%.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, are we somewhat at a break point with Stephanie and the ED report?
No, this is Lyndon. I have a question.
And my staff.
Lyndon, go ahead.
Thank you. Hi, Stephanie. When are we going to see third quarter financials?
Not fast enough, unfortunately. Yeah.
That's established.
Yes. We're working on fourth quarter because we're working on the taxes. We have to get those. We have to get those done. I've talked to.
If you're working on fourth quarter, that means third quarter must be done.
Well, we don't have all the numbers from some of the stations. So anytime that we are behind in getting numbers from any of the stations, we can't complete them. And then if we get any changes from stations, then we can't, that then affects obviously like the full consolidated.
So we have numbers that are five months in arrears from some stations.
We have reports that are in arrears from some stations. Yes, correct.
For 5 months.
Yes.
At least. Can you name the station?
Well, I don't want to throw anybody under the bus.
Stephanie? Okay, we're going to have to ask her to come back to that point in her answer.
Oh, I'm here. We're usually a little behind with the reconciled bank statements from KPFA.
Was that the whole answer, or are you bringing up a because we did lose you for a bit?
No, right, that was the whole answer. Yeah, that was the answer.
Okay. Anything else you want to ask on that, Lyndon?
Well, no, I don't have any further questions because, it's so out of date. I just don't know how we can operate in this environment, and I don't know what to say that reconciled bank statements. What's with KPFA? Are they just refusing to do it?
No, there's not a refusal. It's just delayed often. We, make requests and ask for it to be sent to us, but it's not in a timely manner. So possibly, the treasurer from the station or the LSB, can or people from this committee can maybe assist in any way. Possibly the station needs some assistance with it in order to get it done. The national office has been helping a lot of the other stations where we're up to date with reconciled bank statements. We have updated any sort of the payroll expenses. So I know we just finished all reconciliation for WPFW, for WBAI. So we're up to date on those. So they just might need some additional assistance.
I'll try to get you an answer, Lyndon. I'm KPFA.
Thank you, because my assistance would be suggesting with a foot.
You and my grandmother, Lyndon. That was one of her favorite expressions. Okay. Stephanie, I'm going to ask you to hang on for just another minute. We have to look at the next item on the agenda.
Excuse me. I was on the stack, darling, after Lyndon.
Go ahead, Myla.
Thank you. Stephanie, I have a question about the archives. I am wondering how recent do we have archival material from all five sister stations?
Oh, there are some stations that haven't been recording or submitting materials for quite a few years.
So, Otis set up a system for KPFK where there is automatic, the programming is automatically recorded and maintained for, I believe, 90 days. And I'm curious about what happens after those 90 days. And if somehow those recordings are disappearing, I think that would be tragic. And so have you looked at that at all? And did Otis set that up for any stations other than KPFK, as far as you know?
Well, the stations get the programming gets backed up into onto the server. So it's not like, you know, we're dealing with tapes or anything like that. So things are backed up on a server. They're saved on a cloud. Otis downloads them. He keeps them in a safe place. KPFK uses that on a regular basis. It hadn't been monitored as we got more into the archives and what actually was on servers, what had been saved, what hasn't been saved. There's been a lot of things that are eye-opening to me as well, where things weren't being done the way they possibly should have been done. So we're trying to get a grasp, even just like updating the server itself. There were files that were corrupt. We had to kind of hire some folks from the AAPB and the Library of Congress to go in and try to clean out some of the corrupt files and see what we could save. There was just kind of a lack of safety measures put into place.
So
it's also up to the stations to make sure that their materials are being recorded and saved and sent to the server. And I don't know how much prior management might have been emphasizing to the stations the importance of doing that, or some of the stations were just relying on the producers to do that themselves.
So I have a follow-up. I usually have extensive notes on who the guests are on our show, what we cover, et cetera. And Harvey usually sends out some kind of a notification prior to the show about covering some of those same points. So I have that for most of our shows, and I'm just wondering if we have a system in place, or I just don't know how to best to make sure that the information about each of the recordings of our show actually gets combined with the with the audio recording.
This is definitely something that I could use some help with once we get through this move process. I mean, as of, again, Thursday, we'll have everything, I think actually as of tomorrow, we'll have everything from the archives in its safe place, in a clean place, and better grasp of what we're doing. So then at that point, I'd be happy to sit down with you and we can kind of figure out what we have, what we're missing. I can, you know, have the people that have been working on the database give you a better understanding of what was working, what wasn't working, and then we can move forward.
Wonderful. Thank you, Stephanie.
Is that the end of the stack, folks? That said, Stephanie, would you stay on another moment? The next item on the agenda is an item brought up by Christina Huggins. I spoke with her about an hour before the meeting started, and she was saying that she was feeling very poorly and believed she really needed to take herself off to bed. So since she did not show up at roll call, I'm assuming that she is not going to be available. She had a question to the ED on details of the what she named as the Pacifica National Office's payroll fund. And I believe that was a question that came out of our discussion with Maria Negret while reviewing the KPFA budget. I am inclined to ask for that item to go to the next meeting when Christina might be here, but I'd like to hear if anybody else wants to press on that you are pretty sure you know the details of what Christina was inquiring about. Is there anyone who would take that item up in Christina's place, knowing what her concerns were? Hearing no response to that, I am going to move that item roll over to the next PNB meeting. It'd be a high-ranking point on the agenda, and we move on, which will allow Stephanie to leave. Are there any objections?
Yes. Yes, this is Myla. I would like to suggest that perhaps, if possible, that answers to the questions already being submitted might be answered in writing.
What are the questions being submitted, Myla?
Did Christina not submit questions, or did she just suggest a broad agenda topic?
No, she has very particular questions.
So,
and you'd like to ask Stephanie to answer them to Christina in writing?
To all of us. And then we can follow up next month at our next meeting if there are additional questions or need for clarification.
Okay. Our next meeting, help me out if I'm wrong, folks, is November 12th. Because we are not having it on November 5th, that's for sure. So our next meeting is November 12th.
Yep.
Okay. And of course, if I might, that's entirely up to Stephanie whether she thinks that would be appropriate or too burdensome to ask for those answers in writing.
No, that's perfectly fine. Yeah, because I think where there's a little bit of, I'll put this in writing, but where there's a little bit of confusion is that when people weren't paying any essential services, but people were paying payroll, So rather than asking, so what we ended up doing is dividing up basically what the shortfall was in general expenses for the national office, including having to prepay people some of the health insurance, whatever that may be, is dividing that up amongst the stations that were not paying central services, and then adding that to their payroll expenses as a separate when they transfer the money over to the national office for payroll, adding that on at the same time, because often when people are paying their central services, they pay it at the same time that they're paying payroll, just so they don't have to continually be making these transfers over. So those additions, so it's not additional payroll, it happens to be at the time when there's payroll money being transferred. And what it did is that after discussing it with the stations, they were able to get those extra costs that the national office was incurring, and it was less expensive for them to do that instead of having to pay full central services. They're being credited towards their central service payments, any money that was sent over. The stations that were paying central services at the time, which were only KPFT, didn't have to pay into this. And so then that was transferred over, which would then allow the national office to have some revenue, since we weren't getting central services in addition to any sort of donation revenue that we receive, in order to use those funds to operate.
Great.
Attached to the EC report that was sent out were it's just the raw data, but it's the bank statement of October, from this past fiscal year for the national office. So again, it's just raw data from the bank statements, but it goes through, you know, detailed, as far as its bank statements can be detailed, the everything from October of 2023 through the end of September 2024, the monthly bank statements of the national office, including all deposits and all withdrawals. So that can kind of give you a general idea as to what money is coming in and how the national office is spending money. But I'm more than happy to put that in a written form as well.
Thank you,
Stephanie. And I'll double check in with Christina to make sure she gets the other any other question that she has to you. All right?
Madam Chair, we have on the floor your motion to postpone this item to the next NFC meeting. Is that still there?
Yes.
I will
stand by that motion to take, what is that, item 6 to postpone for the next meeting, and we've set up some preliminary work for that.
Point of order, if I might, instead of saying postponement, why not say continued? Or part 2, rather than just postponing.
Okay, Myla, continue. As I said, the item will be given a priority on the next agenda, since it was not met this agenda. Okay, so. Continuation of that item. Any objections? Hearing none, Paul, will you move that forward or include it in the minutes or whatever?
Yeah, it'll be in the minutes. Yes.
Thank you. Okay. Let's see. Back, Stephanie, I believe you have done more than your duty on all of this. Well, you've done fully your duty on all of this, and I thank you very much. And I think we can let you go.
Thank you.
Good night. Good night. Okay. Let's see. So we're up at item 8. We have, let's see, it is 10 o'clock on the East Coast. We have 20 minutes for the rest of the agenda. And let's see. So we have 25 minutes left on the agenda. If we want to go with everything that's there, and I would ask let's see, the next item is the NFC communications with the PNBs and the LSBs. Now, I know we talked about this a little bit at the last meeting. If we made a decision, I have lost that information. So does anybody want to say, did we actually come up with a decision as to how to give this information that we do each meeting to our PMB and LSBs? Even though minutes are to be posted, they often are a little outside of the time of the meeting. And the reason I bring this up is Stephanie has recently made sure that there is a version of the executive director's report that is totally public information that any director should be sending or can send to their LSEs and the committees they serve on. And so I've been forwarding that to the LSC each time I get it. But how do we pass on information that we want passed on, either up to the PMB or out to the LSC? If I'm making any sense at all, I'd love to hear anybody else's thoughts.
Are Paul for stat?
And please add Minerva to the stack as well.
Okay. I'm going to let Minerva go first as a new speaker. Go ahead. Our Paul, you'll be next.
Okay. Darlene, and I guess this is to help me understand. The report that you're sending to the LSBs, and again, help me understand, is it your responsibility to do that, or should the directors for those stations be doing it?
I send it to my open, my closed LSB list, meaning it only goes to LSB delegates, and then I also send it to this committee, and I do that because I'm a director, and this is information that is being given directors to pass on, so I pass it on.
Okay, and then
I only send it to what I am responsible for communicating with, and that's my LSB and any committee that I'm on.
Okay. So I guess I'm saying this because when we have WPFW LSB meetings, the information there, we have a section for the directors to provide information. And when that's going out, it's the same information that the LSB secretary for the WPFW gets from you. So it's like, why are we giving them duplicate information? And that's what I'm trying to understand. What do you perceive? Is it your role to send the full ED report out? I see you as being finance. I can see sharing financial information, the parts that can be shared with all of the LSBs, but that would be through your someone from your finance committee. I'm questioning why are we getting duplicate information to go to the LSBs?
Well, you're not getting duplicate information from me at WPFW because I'm not sending WPFW anything. I'm a director of 22 directors on the PNB. Stephanie gives all 22 directors so that includes you, a copy of the executive director's report that is appropriate to send to your LSC and any committee of the PMB that you serve on that might have people on it who are not directors and won't be hearing it from Stephanie. So when you have a director's report, they probably wouldn't be or shouldn't be reading that out because it's not from a director, it's from the executive director. So the issue is, as the model for what I'm asking on item number 8, the model is who's responsible to remember to keep other folks in governance at Pacifica as up to date as it's possible to be just by sending reports and minutes out. So it's not me, Minerva. It's me, one of 22 directors, but not me as the responsible for all the LSCs.
Okay, well, I've got an email and I'll send it so that you can see it, but it has your name on it going out to the LSB members of the board. And I just, you know, and I was like, okay, this is the same information that we get in the PMB meeting. So do you give it to the people twice or how does it go? But I'll send you what I'm talking about.
You could have gotten it 3 times, Minerva, at the PMB meeting directly from Stephanie. You could have gotten it at this on this group's list as a finance committee member, and I chair the finance committee. And you might have even gotten it on the personnel committee if Teresa Allen sent it out to her, the committee that she chairs. So it's true, there could be multiple deliveries of the same piece of information, but in my mind, so be it, because that's a 180-degree turnaround from what has been happening before, or at least that I, as one of the 22 members, have been hearing before, that there's never any information really coming out of the PMB or sharing information from the executive director. But sure, send me the email that you want clarification on, and I'll see if I could be able to simply give you an answer on that.
Okay. Yeah, that is... go ahead. Okay, thank you. I'll send it to you.
Mila,
I heard Mila. You've been on the stack, but it's our call now.
Okay. My understanding is that from this committee, both the treasurer and the director of the station reports this to the LSB. Of course, if it's – I'm talking about the open session, and it's public. I mean, right now, everybody in the world is tuned in and hearing this meeting. And so this is all public. So stuff that happens here can be, you know, told to the whole LSB. And when we get things that are labeled, this is public, you know, for public stuff, it should all be sent in. In fact, that's one of the things we've done with the consolidated financials, has been making sure that, you know, we say, okay, we can do this publicly now, right? And establishing that there's nothing in there that would be a problem to send out to the world, and then we send it out. So I don't know. I mean, it seems just clear to me. Also, duplication isn't that bad in Pacifica, since people seem to not pick up on things all the time. So if something goes someplace more than once, you know, somebody might say, phooey, I don't want to see this all these number of times, but people will get it. And some people, if you send it out three times, some people will actually look at it once. So that's my idea of what we're supposed to be doing. It's kind of what I do. I make a treasurer's report. And so I don't know. It seems obvious to me, but other people may have different ideas. I don't know. There you go. Thank you.
Thank you. Myla?
Okay, just unmuted. I was under the impression that perhaps you and Minerva were speaking past one another. And Minerva, I am wondering if you were saying that your local station board was receiving the had received Stephanie's, you know, Stephanie had created a report that could be shared with local station boards on October 17th. And I'm wondering if that was shared with your local station board at WPFW, our Jazz and Justice sister station in Washington, D.C. I'm wondering if that was sent to your local station board by numerous people. Is that what you were getting at, Minerva?
Okay, let me go back and say this, and this is for R. Paul or anyone else that wants to educate me about information being shared. When you send people to the PMB and reports are given, and I have asked this in our LSB meeting for the years I've been on it, of the people who are sent to represent WPFW, I've asked what has taken place in those meetings. And until I and one other director, Irene Adams, came on the board, we would always hear those sessions were in executive session, so we don't really have anything to report. Beginning the year that we came on the PMB, we are given information that I've always felt should have been shared with the board, but it wasn't. Now, they're getting this information from the individuals that they sent to the PMB, and at the same time, they're getting the same information from other directors at other stations or other individuals like the one that I was talking to Darlene about. And the question that I raised is, should, and I'll be the first to say, I don't believe that people should get information two and three times, the same information. If they get it from their director like they're supposed to, then everything is, they know who to look to with their questions or concerns, or to go back and ask the PMB for other information. But when they get it from some person at WBAI, then they get it from some person at KPFA, then they get it from, then they begin to question, well, what is it, what am I looking at? Who's giving the right information? What does this mean? So I say that that leads to confusion. And I'm seeing and it's fine that everything is public. I have no problem at all with that being the way it is, because that's the way it should have always been. But when you start getting duplicate information, it becomes, what are we doing? Why are we all trying to get the same word out to individuals within different stations? It's almost like what I feel sometimes is, who's on first? Who's going to be the first person to tell it? And I don't think that's what the role is for us as directors or on these different committees. When we go back and give information like finance, I would expect for national finance, before it comes from me, then it would come from my treasurer, who's a part of this. And if I can add anything, I do. Because, again, why do you send people to sit on committees and then somebody else is going to come and give you? And a lot of what I heard just before Myla asked me the question was someone's opinion. I didn't ask for opinions. I asked, how is information supposed to be disseminated? And if you had come back to me and said, well, I'm over the NFC, and this is the information I'm going to give, and I'll send it direct to your board, then I couldn't say a word. So, you know, that's what I'm looking at. So it's not about it's public information and everyone should be able to hear it. True, and that's what's been happening. But it's like, how many times are they going to get it? Who are they going to get it from? And you see the same information going across the network, and everybody has an opinion. So I'm just saying, when we come out of these meetings, how do you want it to go? How do you want the information from tonight to go to WPFW or any other station? If we've got a treasurer, should he share it? Should I share it? I mean, that's what I'm trying to get to.
Can I respond to that? This is Myla.
May I
respond? Is it okay?
Okay, hold on a minute. I would like to say something, which is, Minerva, you just stated item number 8 on the agenda for tonight, which is, how do we get, in the least confusing way — it doesn't say least confusing way on the agenda item — but who's responsible and how do we get communication as widely sent as possible? So you and I both have a question to hash out with the on this committee. But the other thing I want to say is, let's look at the email that you said came from me to WPFW, and let me figure out what happened there. Okay? And Myla has another point to make, but that's what I would offer you. You're on the same track as item number 8, and you and I should look at the distribution list of what you reference. Okay, Myla, go ahead.
Okay, so I have a suggestion. I guess it's not quite as confusing at KPFK, because we, the directors and our treasurer kind of try to coordinate with one another. So there doesn't seem to be a lot of duplication per se. In terms of this report that Stephanie created that was appropriate to be shared with local station boards and with committees, our local station, I will probably, I'll talk to Stephen's on this call, our treasurer, Stephen Meeks, and one of us will send this information to our local station board, the report that was created on the 17th of October by Stephanie. And I would suggest that you try to come to some kind of an agreement with your fellow directors at WPFW and make a decision about who will send this information on behalf of all of the directors and come out so that people aren't. And let me just also say that, for example, when I put a report together, a director's report that often contains this information, I send it on behalf of all of our directors, not just of myself, so that people know that they can go to any of the 4 directors if they have questions about what we're doing on the PNB. Is that helpful?
Are you directing that to me, Myla?
Yeah, I am, Minerva.
Okay. Yeah, and you know, what you're saying is the way that I envision it. But like I said, the way that it's been going, it seems to be something completely different. So it's just like, I'm looking for what's the process, who's doing what. And, you know, that's why I'm asking the question as I'm asking it. But yeah, and Myla, what you just said to me is the way it should be done. But I just want to be sure that we're all getting the same understanding. It sounds like there's no problem anywhere else, but yeah, it's and like I said, it's not even just, I mentioned Darlene's name, but I see stuff coming to the LSB that's coming from other stations. I'm like, why are they doing this? If we're directors, then we should be able to bring those reports forward. And see, the problem for me is you get those reports and then you get them with someone's comment about what they think is right and what they think is wrong. And I'm just like, that's doing nothing but causing confusion. And it's not what the PNB thinks or what the Finance Committee thinks, but it's the individual that has sent the document, what their opinions are. And they're not even part of the that station's LSB.
Are Paul for stat?
Okay. We are, I didn't put a time for this, but I would like to say let's watch time. Go ahead, R. Paul.
Okay. If you have, are you saying that people from other stations are on your LSB's mailing list and anybody can post to it?
I don't know if you call it a mailing list or if it's in some of the things that have been going around the network where people just happen to, what I say, grab people's email addresses. That's what a lot of this is. And, I mean, even it got at one point that I'm asked to present something, and this, and we're getting away from finance, and I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. I'm asked to present something, and when I bring forward what I have from the PNB to present, they've already gotten it from someone else and had all these people sign on to it. So now you're getting there trying to defend what the PNB has said we're supposed to be doing. And I made the statement very clear. This is not an official document. Where did this come from?
Okay. Yes, I know about, you know, people send, I have objected to and tried to get off lists. I've been on lists where people had more than 100 names on it. Yeah, it's terrible sometimes. But that's just life. If somebody wants to get a hold of information or wants to send it out and send their opinions with it, it's free speech. They get to do that as long as they're not on the official, breaking into the official mailing list or anything. It's just people shooting their mouths off in Pacifica, which is what we all do a lot.
Okay, I'm going to reflect that this is a good start on item number 8, making it specific to the NFC, and taking it up again next week. We are, and I'm ready to hear if anybody really objects to that. And it doesn't sound like it, so thank you all. The only thing I would like to continue to make sure we touch on for the rest of this agenda, which we are down into the smaller topics and ongoing topics, is could we hear from WDAI R. Paul and WTFW Kamal on the status of your budgets going through the bylaws mandated process for budget approval. Kamal, you haven't spoken if at all. Could you follow up on that?
Yeah, no problem, Madam Chair. So right now we are trying to hold an interim meeting for our Finance Committee. The Secretary and I need to get together, schedule that meeting, and at that time, hopefully, the committee itself will be able to review and approve what was put together probably going on 3 to 4 weeks now ago, and have that ready to go for the November LSB meeting for their approval, and then on its way here to the NFC.
Thank you. I hope you have very good luck on getting that extra meeting or special meeting set up. R. Paul, How goes it with the AI?
Okay, we had a local finance committee meeting, what was it, last Wednesday, and at that meeting we voted to send the draft FY25 WBAI budget to the LSB. So the LSB will have that on its agenda for the November meeting.
And November what?
Oh.
When, right?
Yeah, it's November 13th.
Okay. All right. And I believe Kamal WFW has their LSB meeting the same evening?
Correct.
Okay. So, again, special hopes that the interim meeting for your finance committee can happen. Okay. I am not going to call any more of this new little remaining agenda items at this time, and I will accept a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Okay. R. Paul has made the motion to adjourn. Are there any objections? All right. The NFC meeting is adjourned at 10:36 p.m. Eastern Time. Good night, all.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everybody. Thank you.